You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
So hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Why Not Mint Money. I'm your host for the day, and today we have our guest as Mr. Siddharth Srivastava, and today he is here to share his thoughts on the Nifty Small Cap 250 Momentum Quality 100 ETF.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
So hi Siddharth, hi, thank you for joining in this conversation today.
Yeah, hi Anil, thank you so much for hosting me.
Yes, yes. So let's just start, Siddharth, and the first question I have for you is, how does this Nifty Small Cap 250 Momentum Quality 100 ETF differs from other ETFs?
So Anil, this is our first offering either on the passive side or on the active side in small cap segment. So for us, this is first small cap fund from Mirae Stable. And then secondly, this is a first multi-factor based ETF on small cap segment in India. So it uses two factors, which is quality and momentum with a liquidity overlay to pick out 100 small cap stocks.
Okay.
In the portfolio, and that's the index which NSE has recently launched. We both worked on it for quite a while, and then now we have come out with an ETF as well as a fund of fund on this new index.
Okay. Yeah. So when you say that, you know, it involves two factors, that is your momentum and quality. So how does these two go together? Because as far as quality, can you just tell us momentum? I think most of us know it's based on, you know, selecting the stocks based on which have done well quite recently in the past, where the volumes are quite high on the higher side. How do you define quality here in the small cap stocks? Okay. Got it. So Siddharth, what kind of investors should look into to look forward to invest in this product, in this category, and who should avoid? I mean, let's say that you would want to invest in this product, and what reasons would you have to invest in this product, and what reasons, you know, for what reasons you will not invest in this product?
I think any investor who is keen to take exposure in small cap segment and his risk profile permits that, right? I think he or she can look forward to investing in this product. We have created this product with the help of NSE, and we are very sorts of bullish on this in the long term. This has done quite well against the benchmark Nifty 200, Small Cap 250, and it has outperformed a lot of small cap active funds also.
So
I think anyone who is looking forward to an idea in small cap segment, I think this is a very strong idea which we have come out with, which, as I mentioned, works in both good times and bad times. Also, I'm like, anyone who should look at his risk profile and decide whether or not he or she should invest in small cap segment, if your risk profile permits that, then I think this product can be very apt for inclusion in your portfolio.
Yeah. And what would be the reasons to avoid, like?
So again, see, small cap segment is a more volatile segment than a large cap and mid cap. I think everyone knows that, right? It can give returns, much superior returns than large cap, and can have that spurt, but it can have higher drawdowns also than the market. So so people should be cognizant about valuations. I think right now, if you're entering into small cap segment, you should enter from a long-term point of view, from a 5 year or 7 year horizon point of view, at least you, because at these valuations, typically if you have invested and if you remain invested for at least a one market cycle or so till the next bull run, that is when I guess you will be able to see reasonable returns in these segments. So I think the caution should be around the fact that last few couple of years have generated very good returns and mid cap, small cap, etc. So for short term, people should mute their expectations invest with long term horizon in mind.
Right. So you would say two factors, two things are very important to take into consideration. One is your risk profile, and one is your horizon. How much it should be longer for a long term.
Absolutely. Right now, expectations should be curtailed, and that is across the segments, right? We are looking at India at peaks and across market segments, and obviously, but ultimately, the point is that you should invest, continue to invest, but the horizon should be longer now.
Yeah. Got it. And any general principle on what should be the percentage allocation of your overall asset allocation to this a particular ETF or small cap space?
I think, Anil, that's again a very subjective question. I think it depends upon investor's risk profile, his goals, his age, etc. I think for a lot of people who can take risk, the profile permits that even let's say a 40% allocation in mid and small cap together is all right. If you look at multi cap segment, which has been defined there from a strategy point of view, you can go up till 40%, 50% in both mid and small put together. So a lot depend on kind of risk profile an investor has. But I think in a small cap segment, again, if you're looking for a long-term horizon, you can invest in small cap segment, let's say 10%, 20%, around that ballpark figure. But again, as we have already discussed that at these valuations across the market, your horizon should be longer.
Correct. Okay. Siddharth, how has this index performed historically, and especially in comparison to the other indices? What do you think about it? Has it done?
So this has done quite well against the benchmark small cap 250 index. If I am looking at, let's say, a March ended data, in last 10 years, this has generated 24.7% return, whereas the benchmark has generated only 19.4%. So alpha of almost 5.3%, right? If you're looking even from a 5 year point of view, this has generated 25% return versus the benchmark of around 22.6%. So again, excess return of almost 2.4%. And as I was saying earlier, this has outperformed several small cap funds. I think we were looking at the data even in the smaller horizon and in the longer horizon as well of 10 years or so. This has outperformed majority of small cap active funds also. So from a historical returns point of view, has done quite well. But I think more importantly, Anil, like I was pointing, this has outperformed the benchmark in most of the calendar years. And more significantly, like I was saying, that momentum factor has helped it outperform the benchmark in bull cycles. Whereas quality has sort of buffered the fall in the bad times, and that is what is very heartening and good in this product, that both factors are complementing each other very well. So this is not a product which will, let's say, we were looking at history, give a 15% or a 20% outperformance over a benchmark.
Okay.
Because we are using these two complementary factors, what we are seeing is that historically in bull cycles, when momentum is doing well, when there's a broad market rally, typically you see a alpha of up to, let's say, 7-8% or so.
Yeah.
But in the bad times also, the index is falling less, let's say, by around similar margin or so. So, rather than giving an exuberant return and falling also significantly, this is sorts of giving you relatively better returns.
Yeah.
And in the bad times, just buffering that fall.
Right. So the stocks for this ETF, the stock selection process, how does that work? And I have another question to this. Do you have a set of stocks which meet both the criteria, momentum as well as quality, or is it like you have some set of stocks for the quality small cap stocks or set of momentum based small cap stocks?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I'll explain the method on how the selection process work. So when we were designing this product along with NSE, we obviously brainstormed on what are the three things which is most important when it comes to investing in small cap segment.
Okay.
And we realized the first is obviously that investor is expecting returns, right? That is why he or she is coming to small cap segment.
Sure. Yeah.
Second is the expectation is that, okay, if returns are getting generated, the portfolio quality should also be hopefully good.
Yeah.
And third is liquidity concern, that when I'm entering the market or exiting the market, the underlying portfolio should be liquid enough to give me or not create any trouble during exit, right? So we liquidity, quality, and momentum. Momentum, quality, liquidity, whichever way you want to see, these are three most important factors, and that is how we have designed this product. First, in the first step, the entire 250 stocks, small cap stocks, are the starting point, and then in step one, all the stocks with liquidity concerns are excluded. So bottom 10% percentile based on low trading value, based on low turnover, which is company is bigger but volumes are very low. If there is too much of stock pledging by promoters, if there's too many stock circuits, if the listing history is very less, all these stocks with any of the red flags are excluded.
Got it.
So, yeah. So that is the first starting point, that let's remove all these stocks where there is any liquidity concerns, including promoter pledging.
Okay.
Now the remaining stocks, let's say there are 180 and 190 or 190 stocks which are remains after this liquidity exclusion, then remaining stocks are assessed based on momentum metrics and quality metrics at the same time.
Yeah.
So for example, for all the 180 or 190 remaining stocks, we derive momentum score as well as we derive quality score. Okay, how good it is on momentum and how good it is on quality metrics. And then we arrive at a weighted an average score, average of quality and momentum.
Yeah.
And the stocks which have the top 100 score are selected to form part of the portfolio. So it's not as if the stock is first just based on momentum metrics or first just based on quality metrics and then the other factor is utilized. The judgment is made at the same time. The scoring on quality metrics, the scoring on momentum metrics is done, and then the average score is computed, and the stocks with are in top 100 rank are selected to be the part of the portfolio.
Got it. Are there any specific sectors or industries that is more heavily represented in this, you know, index?
So see, so that will, sort of depend from time to time, because right. Momentum will be biased towards segments which are doing well, right? If you look at momentum, pure momentum based funds right now in the market, they are biased towards in favor of capital goods.
Yeah.
They're biased in favor of, let's say, manufacturing companies, even PSU companies, etc., right?
Yeah.
If you look at quality, typically they are biased towards, let's say, industries which are more profitable, less leverage, like IT, consumption, etc. So first of all, these are very two complementary factors, as I mentioned, and that also gets in a way exhibited from a sector coverage point of view, and mixing them together helps us remove those biasness and create a more diversified portfolio. And that is also one reason why we pick these two factors, that let's not create a portfolio which is very biased towards certain sectors or so. But having said that, as I mentioned, that these two factors evolve from time to time. And right now, for example, the portfolio is, let's say, has a bit higher exposure towards IT because of quality factor, and may have a bit of a higher exposure towards, let's say, industries on the momentum side which are doing well. But that will evolve. So tomorrow, if the trend changes, the exposure will evolve as per the market trends.
All right, got it. So how does this index work in changing market conditions? You know, like, let's say, how does this ETF would perform in the bullish markets and the bearish or the sideways market?
Yeah, so like I was saying, Anil, that we have seen historically that this index does well in bear market also, because quality factor tends to provide more stability to the portfolio, and this index falls less relatively compared to the small cap 250 index.
Yeah.
And during the bull run, it tends to outperform, while not exuberantly, but by a reasonable margin. For example, if I'm looking till 2023 data, which is till last year, this index has outperformed the benchmark small cap 250 in 16 out of 18 calendar years.
Oh, okay.
For example, in 21, it gave 72% return versus 63 of the benchmark. In 2017, it gave 73 versus 58 of the benchmark. In 2014, it gave 81.6 versus 71.7 versus the benchmark. So, as I was saying, roughly around 7 to 10% excess return at times. But in the bad times also, it is falling less. For example, in 2019, when markets were down by 7.3%, the small cap segment, this was down by 1.9% only. In 18, when small cap was down by 26%, this was down by 18% only. In 13, when markets were down by 6.4%, this was down by 11.8%. It was up by 11.8%. So it actually gave a positive return in 2013.
Right.
Yeah. Only two places where typically we have seen this has, let's say, not done well are the phases where market does very well, but quality underperforms.
Oh.
For example, in 2022, if you look at the in MF industry also, you'll see a lot of portfolios, even on the active side, which are tilted towards quality stocks. They have sorts of underperformed. So,
So why is it so exactly? How can it happen that there is a great bull market and the quality stocks are not performing well?
So first of all, it is relatively also, right? In fact, if you look at in last 2-3 years, the segments which have done really well are manufacturing, infra, a lot of these PSU companies, defense stocks, and what has not done well is relatively your consumer has not done well, right? Your private banks have not done really well. Your IT segment has not done well. And typically, when you talk about quality, you typically pick out FMCG names, IT names, private banks also, which has been sort of laggards. Whereas typically value names, all these high capex segments have done well. So there has been a divergence in recent time. I think like everything, this should also in a way average out going forward.
Got it. Yeah. So Siddharth, does the expense ratio of these, you know, smart beta ETFs is that we say is usually in the higher side, or how it is compared in comparison to the broader indexes?
So see, good thing about ETF is that they are typically very sorts of available at low TER.
Yeah.
For example, I don't have it handy right now, but this ETF will be around let's say 40 basis point or so, which is very cheap compared to active small cap funds.
Okay.
Yes, these smart beta funds are at a higher TER than let's say a Nifty 50 ETF or a Sensex ETF or a bank ETF, which are available at a lower cost, but at 40 basis point, this very unique offering, which focuses on two factors while selecting the portfolio, also gives very much importance to liquidity also. And this product at 40 basis point, I think, is very compelling when you compare it with what is available on the active side.
Got it. So Siddharth, what are some, so this is the question apart from, you know, the ETF is what we are talking about. What are some, any upcoming developments or changes happening in the passive investments that investors should be aware of?
Yeah, I think Anil, one very good thing which I am seeing is that people have moved away from active versus passive debate.
Okay.
Three years earlier or 2 years earlier, in fact, all the conversation was about Nifty 50 versus large cap funds, Sensex versus large cap fund, alpha shrinkage, etc. And I think people are now realizing that apart from that, apart from these Nifty 50, Sensex ETF, which are very good products from allocation point of view, it should be there in every investor's core portfolio, are available at a very low cost. But now people have started sorts of getting warmed up to passive products which are unique.
Yeah.
For example, Nifty 200 Alpha 30 or Nifty 100 Low Volatility 30.
Yeah.
Targets alpha based stocks which are doing well in the recent time, targets alpha strategy, whereas on the complete contrary basis, low vol 30 creates a portfolio with least volatile 30 stocks and targets less volatility, more stability, right? And this product which we are talking about is a marriage of quality and momentum factors, two very complementary factors in an effort to create an all-weather portfolio. And these products do not exist on the active side. So people are warming up to these new innovative ideas, thinking that there is more to passive. Let's take advantage of what passive is offering, which is not available on the active side at such a low cost. So so we are looking very, very good interest in smart beta products. while a lot of international funds are closed because of SEBI limits, but we saw great amount of interest in artificial intelligence fund of fund which we had. So people are now looking at these unique options also. And moving on from the debate of active versus passive, that debate is there, but I think more important, Anil, is to pick out the right products, either on the active side or on the passive side, to create a best possible portfolio, right?
True. Yes. So, Siddharth, the final question I have for you is, what advice would you give to the investors, to the new investors who are looking forward to start investing in the markets?
Yeah, so I think it's very simple. I think I'll give two or three advice. One is focus on creating a good portfolio, right? Look at overall allocation whenever you are investing in a market, that whether your allocation large cap, mid cap, small cap, international funds, in commodities, debt, etc. as a whole is right or not and suits your risk profile or not, right? Then second is time in the market is more important than timing the market. Do invest from a long-term point of view, and if you have done your asset allocation right, and are there for the long term, typically I think hopefully your investment objectives and expectations will be met along the line. If you try to time the market, or if you try to play along too much, that is when you get your hands burned.
So Siddharth, I'm done with my questions. If you have anything to add, you can go ahead.
I think, Anil, that was very, crisp and to the point. So I think it was okay. But if you want me to answer any question again in more detail, happy to do that.
No, I think that was enough. That was it. And for this, the conversation. Looking forward to have more such conversations with you around markets or any other product that, that would be new for people. Thank you so much for joining.
Sure, Anil. Look forward. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. If you want to know more on this topic, you can reach out to me on my Twitter, which is @PosteAnil, or on LinkedIn using my full name, Anil Poste. We will be happy taking your suggestions. Thank you for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
Stay updated on this podcast. Follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.